do have the victory. Even though we may not sing it like some can sing it, but we can still sing it in our heart. We may not have the right melody to it, or the right music, but it doesn't make no difference. We can still sing it in our heart and our soul. And I thank the Lord for that. I really do. If you will, turn to John chapter 14. Well, John chapter 13, the latter part of it. We start reading here in verse 36. Well, I'm going to go back a couple of verses. I'm going to go back up to verse 31. And I'm going to start with verse 31. I'm going to read. Then I'm going to read verses, chapter 14, and verses 1 through 6. And I may read some other verses. Don't know yet, but we need to go again to the Lord in prayer at this time. Brother Bill, would you open us up in prayer? Amen and amen. All right, in verse 31. Therefore, in chapter 13 of the book of John, chapter 13 and verse 31 says, therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, let yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also may love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have loved one another. Simon, verse 36, Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou cannot follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterward. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Chapter 14 and verse 1 says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffereth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long a time with you, and yet hast thou not known me? Philip, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And as saith and sayest thou then, show us the Father. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The word that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth thy work. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the work that I do shall he do also. And greater work than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye also ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. I want to focus on one verse right here. And it's verse 14. And then it says, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. I will do it. That's positive. That is something the Lord Jesus Christ is saying right here. It's positive. It's the absolute truth. That he's not going to tell us something and then go back on it. But thinking about that, we know right here where Simon Peter, we know right here where it says, Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, whither thou goest? Jesus answered him, whither I goest, thou cannot follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. I want to take them that verse 36 and verse 14 in chapter 14, and I want to try to work them together. We see right here where Peter right here, he knew the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. And as he knew the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior, he would ask him anything. And he knew that the Lord Jesus would answer him. And he would do it. Now, what Peter wanted to do right here is, Peter wanted to go with the Lord. He wanted to go where the Lord was going. Because right here, in chapter 13, we see this, they're speaking of the Passover. They're speaking of his death and the portrayal of his death and where people had denied him and all of these things, and where Jesus washed the disciples' feet. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, he humbled himself down to his disciples. Now, if the Lord Jesus Christ seen where he must humble himself down to wash his disciples' feet, then don't you think it's better more for us to humble ourselves before the Lord because he went to Calvary for us? Yes, we must humble ourselves down, and we must humble ourselves down to the cross of Calvary. But Peter right here, he wanted to go where the Lord was aiming to go. And he did not know where. He didn't know what the Lord was speaking about. He should have, because not only he was told, but his other disciples had been told. Many people had been told about what the Lord Jesus Christ said. That I will not always be here. That I'm going to leave you. I'm going to leave you for a little while. And when I leave you for a little while, you have to take up the work that has been started. And you must go forth and you must ask for the leadership. You must ask me, what must I do? And that's what we must do. We must ask the Lord ourselves, what must I do? What can I do for you, Lord, today? Sometimes when we ask them things, we don't like it when he comes back and asks us to do certain things. You say, well, Lord, I can't do that. I can't do all these things. But if the Lord didn't think you could do it, then the Lord would never ask you to do it. So the Lord has enough to know that you can do it. He has enough where he knows that any task he sets for us to do, if we would just ask him to help us along the way, he will help us with it. We don't go by ourselves. If you're a Christian tonight, you don't go by yourself. The Lord is always with us. But Peter right here, he wasn't happy with the answer. But see, the Lord seen down through the weeks and the months, and I don't know how many days it was after that, when you, from that time to the day of Pentecost, I don't know. But see, the Lord Jesus Christ knew exactly what he wanted Peter to do. Peter did not know it, even though if the Lord had told Peter, said, Peter, I have a greater work for you. If he tells that Peter, says, I've got something that I want you to do. That over 5,000 people is going to come unto me. It's going to be saved because of what you preach. Peter wouldn't have believed it. Just like a whole lot of people today. People today that really don't believe in what God can do. But God can do anything he wants to do. He can do the impossible. And he can make it possible. But we have to have a willing heart. We have to have a willing of get up and go. And we must have a willingness within us to say, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'm willing to go. I'm willing to do it. Now in the last couple, 2 or 3 days, and I know that it's nothing but the devil, I know that. But I've asked the Lord, I've been there in the church for I don't know how many months now, 5 or 6 or whatever. I said, but Lord, is it me that's keeping people from coming to the house of the Lord? Is it me, Lord? Is it something that I'm saying? Is it something that I'm doing? Is it something about me, Lord? If it is me, Lord, show it to me. And if I cannot correct it, Lord, you just take and move me out of the way.
Because I don't want to be a hindrance for anybody coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. None of us should be any kind of hindrance at all in somebody coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And I said this when I first come down here, I believe the only way a church grows is seeing lost souls come into the house of God and coming to an old-fashioned altar and asking, the Lord God, that's in an old-fashioned book, to believe and trust in Him and be cleansed by the blood. That's the only way the kingdom of God grows, because the kingdom of God has already grew today for what it's grown to right now. But within the next hour, we don't know how much more it's going to grow. But as far as each and every church out here, we have got to do our part. And first of all, we've got to pray. We've got to pray with an earnest spirit. We've got to pray with an earnest heart. And I'm not saying you're not doing it. I know you are. I don't know why the Lord asked me to read these verses. I really don't. Because I've preached it before I know. But it's one thing I've learned. You get in God's Word and you can read the same verse over and over and over. You can take John chapter 14 and read down from 1 through 6. And you think you've got everything, all the meat that's in them six verses there. You got all of it that you can just depend on, that's it. And you can preach 2 or 3 weeks on it. You can even preach a month on it. And it's just like what Brother Paul said this past week. He said he knows he's preached the message before, but it never comes out the same way, and it doesn't. Why? Because we can go back. And God has a hidden nugget right there. And it'll pop out to you. I didn't see that before. I didn't know that was in there. There. Why? Because God, He lives. He's not in the grave. He lives within our hearts. He lives within my heart and your heart. And I'll say this, and I don't know if I've said it before, but I'm going to say it now. If any of you see something that we can do a little different, that we can do to maybe better the ministry or whatever, bring it up to me. Let's discuss it. Because your idea and my idea, it may coincide the same way, but maybe the way that you want it done is a little easier than maybe the way I'd want it done. But we must always remember, if we do it God's way, it's always the easiest way. Because if we do it His way, He's not going to allow no stumbling blocks. But Peter, he didn't see all of that. He didn't see all of that. Peter saith unto him, Lord, whither thou goest? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou cannot follow me. But thou shalt follow me afterwards. What is he saying there? One day. One day after you have finished the work that I have ordained you to do, the work that I've called you, the work that I want you to do, and when you are done with it, you'll come where I'm at. And I said it this morning, we're living in the most exciting times as Christians.
We really are. Because you know, so we could be the individuals that's alive, that's breathing.
How many of you tonight would love to hear that trumpet? I would. I'd love to hear it. But until then, we all have something to do. We all have a job to do. That's just like what Jesus was telling Peter. Says, Peter, you cannot go with me now. But one day, you will hear that small, clear voice. And I'm going to follow you home. What was Jesus saying to Peter afterwards?
Peter did not know what was going to happen on the day of Pentecost. He didn't have no idea that he was going to be considered one of the greatest preachers that there was at that time. But he was going to be considered one of the greatest preachers at that time by none other than the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father. In the day of Pentecost, what did he do? Hallelujah. He brought one of the greatest messages that I rang that until Paul come along. And even Paul, he preached. And Paul, he brought some good message. He wrote some good scripture down. And he was following the leadership of the Lord. As he written these scriptures down, as he penned them down by the Holy Spirit. But here in chapter 2 of the book of Acts, it says, and when the day of Pentecost, was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. We can't get all the people in one accord. We cannot get people in unity together. We cannot get people today that just wants to come around and hear the word of God. We don't want to. They just don't want to come to the house of God no more. Even the so-called Christians today, they don't want to come to the house of God. They say, yeah, I got enough of God at home. But they don't. God is here. God is in the house today. And I know that God not only is here, but once we leave and once these lights are turned out and once the door is locked and we're gone from this building, we're gone from the property here, it's nothing but asphalt. It's nothing but dirt. It's nothing but mortar. It's nothing but wood. It's nothing but fiber. It's nothing but wood and everything else. It's nothing but paper in the songbooks. It's a dead church. It's a dead church at that time when nobody else is here. But it comes alive when the first individual comes in. Why? It doesn't make no difference. If the individual that comes in is lost, if they come in lost, the first individual, God is speaking to them. Because they didn't come into the sanctuary. You know, here, I don't know if any of y'all saw it or not, it was in the paper. But in Pennsylvania County, I think it was 10 churches that's been broke into. 10 churches within the boundaries of Pennsylvania County. Well, you say, well, Pennsylvania County is a larger area. You're right, it is a larger area. But take them 10 churches. Them 10 churches had people to come in and ransack them.
Tear it all up. What? Why? Probably most of them was on drugs, alcohol. But it doesn't make no difference. It was because of wickedness. Because of the devil. Devil knows he can't do anything about heaven. He can't change anything there in heaven. So he's doing what he can do best down here. And that's trying his very best to get into the house of the Lord. And I'm so thankful that he's not outside of the church here, Faith Baptist Church, to where he's outside and knocking on the door and knock, 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 knock. Let me in, let me in. No, he's already been invited in. He's invited in every time. If anybody needs to leave, it's us as a people. But he can stay. Why? Because he has conquered death, hell, and the grave. For who? For me and you. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as for fire. And it set upon each of them. Talking about cloven tongues. Tongues as a fire. Parting and setting upon each of them. You know who it was? It was the Holy Ghost of God, I believe, that was there. And he was there among the people there that was going to do the speaking. See, it wasn't just Peter there. It was all other type of individuals. It was some people from this country, from that country, from this one. All nations was represented there. Why? Because all creed was represented there. There was people there that could not understand Peter in his language. There was other people that was there that couldn't understand me or couldn't understand somebody else. So what did he do? That's when the Holy Spirit came upon the individuals of that sect or that group of people that could speak their language. And what they was doing, they was just interpreting what Peter was saying. And Peter said there, I don't know if it's Peter or who it was or whatever, but it says in chapter 4, in verse 12, I said, neither is there salvation in any other. There's no salvation in any other. Peter was saying there, says, it's no salvation in what I'm doing right now. It's no salvation in what you are seeing me do right now. It's the salvation is from God. Salvation is for the whosoever will come. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, that's Donald Mahan, that's Shelby, that's Bill, that's Donna, that's Betty, that's Sister Taylor and Sister Huff. So you do, Sister Julia. Julius. It was all of us. That's who was representing us. So it wasn't just Jesus Christ and the Son of God and God the Father that was representing us. We had Peter representing us. We had the 12 disciples also representing us. Not only that. Then Paul come to being. Paul come to being over there in chapter 9. And it says, and he said, "Where, who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." It's hard for thee to kick against the prick. And he trembled and astonished, saying, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Well, first of all, I believe right here in verse 5 is the first indication that Saul got saved. What did he say? And Saul said, Who art thou, Lord? Now, who would want to say, Who art thou, Lord? They didn't know him. He knew him. See, he didn't know anything about the death. He didn't know anything about the birth. He didn't know anything about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't know anything at all about Jesus. He didn't even know who he was. And he's seen him face to face. He didn't know who he was. Who art thou, Lord? And what did he say? I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Verse 6, and he trembled and astonished, saying, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. What thou must do will be told thee. Who was going to tell them what to do? There was going to be other individuals, and it was going to tell him all about the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to tell him what Jesus really meant to them. It was going to tell him what Jesus done for them. And that's what we need to tell. We need to tell people what Jesus has done for us. And what Jesus has done for us, he can also do for them. Because he is no respecter of person. He does not do for one and will not do for the other. He does the same for one and do the same for the other. He doesn't love me no more than he does that sinner right here. That's out here tonight that may be abusing his wife. Or may be out there abusing his body. Putting a needle in his arm. Or popping pills. God loves them just as much as he did me, and he still loves them just as much as he loves me today. He don't love me a bit more. And we have to realize that. But we as Christians, we done got the idea in our head sometimes. Well, I'm okay. I'm saved now. I'm going to heaven. Like, you know, hey man, I'm all right now. I'm going to heaven. Now I can go ahead and do what I want to do. If that's the kind of mindset an individual's got, then he gets saved. Because God does the same on one, and he does the same on the other. It has to all be done through the blood. We have to ask him to save us. And I'm so thankful that it was three individuals that explained to me and told me, that you cannot see him. You cannot touch him. But you still need to ask him to save us. Like he says there, where it was telling Thomas, blessed is Thomas, in whom Thomas seen. After Thomas had took his hand, his palm of his hand, maybe took all of his hand, took it all the way up to here, all the way, I don't know how far he took it, and thrusted it into his side. Then he took his fingers and he went into the wrist of his hand, both hands. Then he went and took
empty finger within his feet. And I believe Thomas probably brushed his hat and saw the scar left there by the plank. But in the latter part of that verse, blessed assurance to the one that whom have not seen, but yet have believed, that have trusted him. I got to reading that and I said, man, he is my Savior. He is my friend. It says in John chapter 15, verse 32 or 33, that says, greater is he.
I'm going to close with this one verse. I thought I had it right there on the tip of my tongue everywhere, but slipped my tongue, so I'm going to go back and I'm going to just read it. Verses 12 and verse 13. Verse 12 of chapter 15 in the book of John. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Now that right there is a big statement right there. When somebody comes up and spits in your face, how can we say we love you? They spit in Jesus' face and he still loved them. But says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for a friend. Ye are my friend if ye do whatsoever I commanded you. Ye are my friends if ye do whatever I command you. The Lord Jesus Christ.
You're my friend. I love you. I love you with all my being. I truly love you. Listen to what I'm saying. Then when the invitation is given, they can come to the altar. I can go up and pray with them. Brother Bill or one of you ladies can pray with the lady. We can show them, we can tell them about the plan of salvation. And they say yes unto Jesus. They ask Jesus to come into heart and soul. That's where we stop there. Well, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving us. And we do thank God for saving our souls. But then what we expect him to come back into the church. Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday morning for preaching, Sunday night, and everything. We expect him to come back into church. And
expect them to know the Bible like we know it, like we know it. Here's some of us who say 20, 30, some may 40, 45 years. I don't know. Do that. We have to teach them. We have to teach them about the house of God. We've got to teach them what they can do, what they can't do, what they must do, and what they must do in being reverent unto Him. But we fail so much. We expect them to get saved, but we don't tell them what Jesus really wants us to do. I've been talking to a boy down at Lowe's. I've been knowing him 10, 12, 15 years already. Not always went in and I'd always look him up and go by and see him, and I just talk to him about some big ideas of that. And sometimes I might go and meet some of my church or whatever. Sometimes I don't. One day he told me, he said, "Pray for me." He said, "I need to pray." He said, "You're not afraid of that." He said, "But just seems like nothing happened. There isn't nothing that happened." It was insane. And the reason I'm saying that is not because I seen within his life, no, I didn't see it. I seen a moral individual that was kind to people, that always had a smile on his face, and was there, wanted to help people. But he told me one day, I went over there and threw the fucking way he was out, I seen him over there in his past, and so, and I seen him, and I went over there and spoke to him and asked him, "So how you doing today?" I said, "I know you're working kind of hard today, I think." He said, "Well, yeah." He said, "Well, I'm having to reprice at the time." He said, "But let me tell you something. You know, I've been talking to you. We've been talking a long time. I'll tell you what I've been dealing with. And I mean, so many things that he's done on the weekend and everything. Everything else is running through my mind and everything. But he's come up and said, "I got saved. I went to church for the first time in over 10, 12 years. What did I say?" And he said, "You know, that's been about 3 months ago." He said, "You know, since then, I read my Bible and pray." He said, "You know, that's amazing." He said, "Some of the plans that I asked for, to me, I thought it was going to be kind of silly." He said, "But in the word it says, ask, seek, and knock. And when you go to them, you ask. Then if you seek after, then if you knock upon the door that what you are wanting to do or whatever. It does not call the answer to prayer. Does not say that we would answer. Because you take the first light and letter out of all three words. Ask, sit, and knock. You've got to ask. You've got to say, I'm going to keep asking. I'm going to keep asking." And he said, "How the Lord has opened up. How the Lord has done that. eye and eye. I said, Brother Ricky, that's how I pray, Brother Ricky. Man. I said, you know, before I just talked to him. Ricky, I didn't know. I should have been for his brother Ricky. I said, you know, ma'am. She said, go back to the number of people. She said, leave there for you. I'm kind of to be asking you to pray for you. And I did. And he told me that he was praying for this and praying to God to help me and my family. And it seemed like I was just stay at work. I said, that's all you're saying. You just stay at work. I said, well, when you went to Jesus and asked him to save his soul. Now you can call it from the beginning of time. Day or night. He never sleeps. He's always there to answer. We're good and I'm good at that man. And I see where he's busy. And I just, you know, I just go and get what I got to get and everything. And I'll start all back up to where the rest is at or anything. And he'll be back there with a tool or in the electrical department, something like that. He'll see me walk by or whatever, and I'll be done and got halfway up to the register. He said, Brother Don, brother, sometimes I'm here, sometimes I'm here, sometimes I can't. Watch it, it's selective here, and no, I don't know. But I reckon doctors will kill him one day, so I don't know. But he said, preacher! I turn around and I look all around. How you doing, brother? I told him, I said, don't call me out if I'm on the other end of the store and you just have to see me. And if I had to turn around and see you, I said, I'm gonna holler right back at you. He said, that's all right. He said, what are they gonna do? I said, they ain't gonna run me out probably. But we have a good time. I think the best time in the last 34 years that I've been saved. The best time. It hasn't been an easy road, but he dealt with being able to give promise to me that I was going to have the road bed, the flower beds and everything all around me. With a sweet fragrance from somebody. He told me about it. He followed me sincerely. You're going to have trouble. You're going to have trouble. Trouble don't come to him from him. Trouble don't come to him. Trouble don't come from him. It comes from God. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Lord, we thank you for the precious, precious word. Father, we're so thankful, Lord Jesus, that you are still. Still, Father, you are still in the soul saved. It's your business, Lord. We must leave that up to you. We must go about preaching. We must go about telling people about your love. And Lord Jesus, we ask that you'll be with these people this week. Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, that you give us some names this week. Press it upon our hearts that we may go visit some people that's not in church and not saved or whatever, Lord. Father, we just want to follow your leadership and your guidance. But God, we just ask once again that you will just touch, give the desires of the people of heart. Father, help this church grow in grace. from those that we know that hell is enlarging itself each and every day. And yes, Father, some of them, maybe because I just didn't listen and I didn't go to them. I do not know, Lord, but you do. Father, we thank you, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.